Leave your Bibles open because we're going to look at more than just these verses that I'm going to read tonight. And my text verse tonight, of course, is number 4, verse 4. And I want to talk about tonight about keeping on. Keep on keeping on and don't give up. Don't give up. Keep on keeping on and don't give up. And I believe that we need that encouragement more than anything in the world. In verse 1 of that passage of Scripture, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, talking about Mount Carmel, about killing the prophets, and with all or about how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And then Jezebel sent a message unto Elijah, saying, So let it be the gods to do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of these, talking about the prophets, tomorrow about this time. And then in verse 3 of that passage, it says that Elijah then left. He began to fear for his life, and it says that he went for his life. And then in verse 4 of that passage of Scripture, it says, But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And then, of course, an angel comes and he lays down and begins to rest. And we're going to share that in just a moment. But I want to pray with you tonight. And I want to encourage you tonight as a pastor that God will bless us as we worship together. Let's do that. Heavenly Father, as we come again tonight, we thank you so much. We thank you, Lord, for loving us and caring for us. We thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given us, for the blessings that you've given us. And Lord, I thank you tonight for each and every person that's here at White Plains Baptist Church. I thank you for their faithfulness. I thank you for their commitment to you. And I know, Lord, in their heart, those who come on Wednesday night, I know that they love the church, but I know that they love you even more. And I pray, Lord, as this church goes through this transitional period, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would continue to bless them. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless Mike's ministry. And Father, I pray that this church would pay attention to what God is saying to it. And Lord Jesus, I pray that they might seek the leadership and the presence of the Lord in all that they do. Father, I know as I stand here tonight, I know that you know exactly who you want to bring to this pulpit. And Father, I pray that this pulpit committee might pray and might seek your will and your way. Lord, I pray that you would bless them, lead, guide, and direct them. These that have been mentioned that are sick, this one that sits here tonight who has had some skin cancer removed tonight. We lift him up in prayer. We pray for every name that's been called, for every need that we know about. And Lord, we thank you most of all for Jesus. We thank you for Jesus who went to the cross of Calvary. And on that old cross, that old rugged cross, Lord, you died for my sin. And Father, I stand here tonight before this congregation as a sinner. And Lord, I thank you tonight for saving me by your grace through my faith and trust in you. Bless this time together. Use it for your honor and for your glory. And I pray tonight that we might lift up the name of Jesus in all that we do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Many times in life we become discouraged. Amen. Many, many days and many, many times in our life we just become a discouraged people. And many times what we do is we want to quit. We want to give up. Many times things seem hopeless for us, and it seems like that we have no way to improve the situation or to change the circumstances or to make it better. So what we do is we come to the point and place of wanting to quit. A lot of times in our own personal lives, it's that way. A lot of times in our spiritual lives, that's the way. You know, I talk to a lot of Christians and one thing or another, and a lot of people will tell us time and time again that, you know, I'm really discouraged about what's going on in my church. I'm discouraged about what's going on maybe in my own personal life. I'm just discouraged about a lot of things spiritually. I'm discouraged about the condition of the world that we live in. People get discouraged, and so many times they want to quit. Church, I want to encourage you tonight. I want to encourage every single one of you that are here tonight. Please, whatever you do in your spiritual life, you keep on keeping on. You know, most of us here tonight, we don't have a lot of young people with us, and most of us are over the hump, as they call it. We don't have but a short road to go, and you know, one of the greatest things that's going to be said when you get to heaven is the fact that you've been faithful and you've endured to the end. Amen? That's what God wants us to do. So when we come to this story, we realize that many times we need God's encouragement. As a Christian, tonight I want us to learn from what old Elijah went through. And when you read this story, of course, you've heard it many times. You've heard it preached from many times. But I want to just refresh your memory tonight and refresh you and encourage you tonight concerning what Elijah did and what he failed to do. In this passage of Scripture in verse 4, there are three things that we need to see. And I want you to keep your Bibles open because we're going to look at some other verses. But there's three things that we need to see, but we need to apply them. We need to get hold of them. We need to get in touch with them, so to speak, that we might be able to apply it to our personal life. When we look at this tonight, the first thing I want us to see in verse 4 is Elijah's frustration. Elijah became very frustrated about what was going on in his own spiritual life. Elijah, first of all, I want us to see Elijah was the servant man. He was the servant man. When we read this story, when you go back and you begin to look in chapter 18, you know the great experience that he had on Mount Carmel, how he went there and how he faced, of course, the prophets of Baal. And he believed and he had enough faith and he challenged them. And as he prayed and as he called fire down from heaven, God blessed him and used him in a special way. So we see when we look at Elijah, we see, of course, that he was a servant man. But we are staggered tonight and astonished to find that what could happen to a man who had such a great victory over the prophets of Baal. And when he called fire from heaven, and then he went and got down on his knees and he began to pray, and it had been 3 years since it had rained in Israel. And God sent the rain. In his prayer, he prayed that God would acknowledge him and acknowledge what he was doing. So we see that he achieved a remarkable victory in chapter 18. Over in chapter 17, he was a man who raised a child from the dead. So Elijah was a man that you would look at and you would say, boy, I want to live that kind of life. I want to have that kind of power in my life. Now we know that he was called by God. We know that he was a special man. We know that God had his hand upon him. But still the same, we would look at his life and we would say, I want to be just like him. I want to do as much as I can for the Lord. But I want us to see not only that he was a servant man, but I want us to understand tonight that there was a stunning moment in verse 4 that you and I need to pay attention to. And in this verse, he says he requests for himself that he might die. That he might die. He had become so discouraged. He had come to the point, no doubt, of even being depressed. And it was that moment, it was at that moment that Elijah made that statement about him dying. It was a time in his life that could have been, no doubt, a great time. A time where he had already had the victory. He had defeated Satan there at Mount Carmel. He had won the victory. He had defeated the prophets of Baal. And now he comes to the point and place of he requests for him to die. It was a stunning moment. It was a stunning moment, no doubt, for anyone who reads this and thinks about it for just a moment. I know when I think on it, I think to myself, how in the world could he have ever come to that point in place? There had been unmistakable evidence of God working through Elijah's life what more could anybody ask for God to do? Man, I tell you what, that was a great, great opportunity for him to continue to do what God wanted him to do. So we see that it was a stunning moment. But we also see in verse 2, we see a sobering matter that he had to deal with. And this is why we find him under the Jupiter tree. This is why we find him out in the wilderness. Because that stunning or that sobering matter that he had to deal with was Jezebel. It says in verse 2, it says, "Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, this time tomorrow, you're going to be dead. This time tomorrow, I am going to kill you. I am going to take your life." Now you would think that a man who was able to stand up in front of all those prophets, who had enough courage, who had enough power from God and evidence of that power on his life, you would think that he would send a message back to Jezebel and say, "Jezebel, bring it on. You just come on and we'll just handle it right now." But that wasn't what Elijah did. Now folks, there's one thing that I want us to understand tonight. This is why I love the Word of God. Because God could have made Elijah a great hero, doing the things in chapter 17, doing the things in chapter 18. But here we find him a defeated person. God could have just taken that out of Scripture. He could have just left that out. But when we go back in Scripture, when we look at it, we find it time and time again, the great men of God, disciples, other people that had walked with God, when we find that they sin against God, they even turn maybe their back against God, and God doesn't leave it out. Why? Because he wants us to see and to understand that all of us could be an Elijah. Every single one of us can be a Peter. Probably if you would be truthful tonight, and I would be truthful with you, and I will, there have been times in my life, and I'm sure in your life, that we have been just like Elijah. We have wanted to give up. We have been so discouraged and so depressed that we just wanted to give up. And now this old wicked woman calls for his life. And instead of standing up and having the courage and the conviction to do what needed to be done, Elijah gets up and runs for his life. How does that happen? Have you ever been on a mountaintop? Have you ever been to Mount Carmel? Now we know that we've never been able to bring fire from heaven and be able to have rain or bring rain and pray and see it that way. Been many times that I prayed for rain, but I didn't get it, but I kept praying. Amen? But I've never had that power. Elijah, God used him and God anointed him with that. And when he prayed, the rain began to come. He sent that messenger to the top of the hill and he said, "I'm going to keep praying until the rain comes." So he had that great experience. And every time that we have a great experience with God, you may come to church and the preacher may bless your heart, the song and the music may bless your heart. You may have a great time of worship in the Lord. And then you know more, get outside of these doors or at your home that day or night or tomorrow. And what happens is the world begins to cave in on you. And what you do, you become discouraged. You say, "What's the use of trying? What's the use of keep on keeping on?" And that's the thing that I want to get across to you tonight. He was facing something that was difficult. And what did he do? He fled because it was difficult. He didn't want to deal with Jezebel. He didn't want to face her. He didn't want to go through that. He had just come from a great victory and now he was faced with something else and he did not want to go through that. So what did he do? He fled. He fled. You see, the thing that we have to understand is, or ask the question is, why? Why did God allow Jezebel to have enough influence that she would drive away his great servant? Listen, folks, God permits that to happen. I want you to know tonight that God is in charge of everything. He is on His throne tonight. But in this world tonight, the Bible says that the prince of this world is who? It's Satan. And I'll guarantee you beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jezebel was nothing but Satan's agent. And she was wanting to discourage him. Matter of fact, she wanted to kill him. So what we have to understand is when we ask that question, that God permits those things to come. And when He does, many times, this is what He's doing. He is testing your faith. He is asking you, how much faith do you really have? Elijah had enough faith to go and to do what he did on Mount Carmel. He had enough faith to go and to lay down on that young man and to raise him from the dead. But now he doesn't have enough faith to stand and face Jezebel. God permits so many times, just like He did in Job's day, when He permitted Satan to come and to test Job, so does He also allow him to come and to test me and you. The question is, can we pass that test? When times get hard, when times get difficult, when it looks like the world is in our face and we have no way and no place to turn, can we turn to Him and have enough faith and believe that God can do some wonderful things in our life and bring us through it? Amen? Do you have that kind of faith? Will you keep on keeping on? But secondly tonight, I want us to look at Elijah's failures. I want us to see in this passage of Scripture what took place. First of all, in verse 4, I want you to see Elijah's wandering. The Bible says that when he heard what Jezebel was going to do, it said that he fled for his life. In verse 3, it says he took his servant to Beersheba. And he left his servant there. And then the Bible says that he went another day's journey into the wilderness. Another day's journey into the wilderness. He didn't just go to Beersheba and stop. But he went all the way into the wilderness. He was so discouraged, he was so depressed about the message that Jezebel had sent him that he went out into the wilderness by himself. This was God's servant. He had been faithful. He had done what God had asked him to do. And yet it comes to him to this point in place. And there he is in the wilderness. He's wandered. He's wandered away. He's wandered away from God. He's wandered away from God's will. He's wandered away from anybody and everybody who could encourage him and help him. Folks, this is what happens to us so many times as a Christian. So many times we find ourselves in some way, somehow, wandering in the wilderness. You know the story well. You know God brought Egypt through. God brought Israel through and out of Egypt. And there He was going to give them the promised land. He wanted them to go and inherit it. And what did He do? What did they do? For 40 years, they just wandered around the same mountain. 40 years, they just went around in a spiritual rut. They just wandered around, and God had already planned and purposed and promised that they would be able to possess the promised land. He had already done everything that was necessary for them to go and to possess that land. But yet, they didn't do it. Here's God's servant out in the wilderness, now wondering what in the world is happening and making a request that God would even take his life. You see, that was a failure on Elijah's part. But you know what? You and I need to think about that. Because I see today so many Christians who are just wandering in the wilderness. They're wandering in the wilderness. One time they were working in the kingdom, but now they're wandering in the wilderness. One time they held a position in the church. They may have been a deacon. They have, may have been a Sunday school teacher, but in a leadership role. But now, where are they? There are people in this community that one time was here on Wednesday night. But now they're doing something else on Wednesday night that they feel is more important, or they could care less about the spiritual aspect of their life. Wandering in the wilderness. Christians, listen to me tonight. That's what we do. When we begin to slip away from God, when we begin to question whether God can bring us through a situation and circumstance. Elijah evidently, and we don't know this because it's not in Scripture, we're just reading between the lines, but was it in Elijah's mind? He says, I can't go through this again. But what did he do? He forgot what God had just done for him. So we see Elijah just wandering around, just out of God's will, and that's a true picture of not only Elijah, but so many of us in our own lives. But I want you to notice that it was not only in this passage of Scripture his wandering, but I want you to note that Elijah's weakness that was there. God had given Elijah the great victory at Mount Carmel. God had given him the power, and he had been able to perform miracles with that power. But the thing that I just mentioned just a moment ago is the fact that we forget what God did for us yesterday. You remember that time in your life? It may have been in this church. It may have been somewhere else. But that time in your life when God got a hold of your heart and He saved your soul, when He brought you out of sin and brought you out of eternal death as far as hell was concerned and brought you into the kingdom of God and promised you and gave you eternal life. You remember that time? You know, we forget about that so much. We forget about the things that God does for us. We forget about how He has delivered us and how He has brought us through every circumstance and every situation in our life to this point in time in our life. You know what? The children of Israel no more got across the Red Sea and they faced another situation and another problem and they had already forgotten about what God had done back there in Egypt. How He had delivered them by the blood over the door. How the sacrificed lamb had brought them out of captivity. You see, Elijah's weakness was the fact that he had forgot. His eyes had gotten off of what had brought him to the point of being a great servant. His heart had left what had brought him to the point of being a great servant for God. And you and I need to understand that in our life so many times that very much could be our weakness. Folks, I beg you tonight, listen to me. I pray tonight that you'll remember the things that God has done for you. Unless the Lord changes my mind Sunday morning, I'm going to share a message entitled Standing in the Middle of Crisis. And in that message from Matthew, this is what I'm going to share. I'm going to share about my experience. My experience and my wife's experience about what God did for me through a liver and a kidney transplant. Because we were truly standing in the midst of a crisis. And I'll say this again Sunday morning, but when I was beginning to recover, when I realized that I was going to be able to live, you know what I did? I promised God. I said, Lord, if You bring me through this, I will continue to preach and do everything I can for the kingdom of God. And to this day, every time my phone has rang and somebody has asked me to come and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, I have been willing to go and to do it unless I had another appointment in that space. Why? Because it's important. We can't forget what God has done for us. And you ought to leave here tonight encouraged. You ought to leave here tonight determined that you're going to keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter how hard it gets, no matter how difficult it is, No matter how hard the road might be, you're going to keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, don't stop. Don't quit. Well, he had not only the wandering, the weakness, but he had the weariness. Man, old Elijah was absolutely weary. Elijah felt a sense of the sin creeping in his life. Can you imagine this? A man that had been so close to God. A man that no doubt was hand in hand with God. But now, because of this statement that he made, "Lord, I'm requesting you to kill me." How did he get to that point? You see, he was weary. He was absolutely weary. He said in verse 4 of that passage of Scripture, he says, "For I am no better than my fathers." Now that indicates a couple of things. It does indicate that this man was weary. He was weary from all that he had gone through, physically and spiritually. But he come to this point and place, and because of the fact that he was so weary and so worn down spiritually, that he looked at his own life. And he looked at his life in the light of God. Think about that for just a moment. He looked at his own life, but then he looked at his life and measured it by God. And that sense of sin began to creep in. Look what he said in verse 4. He said in that passage of Scripture, he says, "For I am no better than my fathers." That indicates two things. First, his weariness. First, of the fact that he realizes that he has moved away from God. But then it also indicates, because of what God had done over here. Now think about this a little bit. You know, when God is blessing us and when things are going good, when the church is growing, when people are getting saved, when we're planning and building and doing and so on and so forth, you know, it's good. But then, when something begins to go south, when something begins to turn south, then what happens in our life is so many times it's because of the fact that we have allowed that pride. We have allowed that success. I imagine when Elijah walked away from Mount Carmel, he says, "Bring it on, I'll go charge hell with a water pistol." Amen? Now, immediately, he's been challenged again. And you know what? He thought so much of what maybe happened at Mount Carmel. Maybe he got a little selfish. Maybe he became filled with a little pride. Because you see, the truth is that he was no better than his fathers. You know why? Because his fathers were sinners and he was a sinner. Elijah was just a man. He wasn't God. He was just a man. So now he has come to grips with the fact that maybe that little pride had kind of swollen up, kind of overcome him, and now he begins to see himself in light of God. Folks, I want to tell you something tonight. Listen to me. Any time that we come to that point and place in our life, that we begin to look at our life and we begin to see it in the light of God, you and I have nothing whatsoever to be proud of. Amen? We have nothing to be proud of when we cast the light on us and we cast it on God. Because I want to tell you, He's a holy God. He's never sinned. He's never absolutely in no way, form, or fashion ever made a mistake. God is perfect. And we're not perfect. So what we need to see sometime is we do need to see that we are sinners, that we're not everything that we think that we are. So he was weary. He was tired. And we look at this and we see that he was wandering, he was weak, he was wearied, and he was wounded in his spirit. But God was not through with him. Amen? When we look at this passage of Scripture, we see that Elijah has to face his future. He has to face his future. Thank God that Elijah's ministry or his life did not end in verse 4. Thank God that it was not over with in verse 4, that God did not take his life. But God did three things to restore Elijah to service. And we're not going to take time tonight to read all of this in chapter 19. But I encourage you, when you go home or when you get a chance or if you do a devotion and you can, you just read all of chapter 19. And we'll see how God worked in Elijah's life. The first thing he did was he did a practical thing. He did a practical thing in his life, in his restoration. You see, it was simple. It was a practical matter that was needed to restore Elijah out of this state of discouragement, out of this state of depression, and this is what he did. The angel came to him, and God made the provisions. And this angel, by the way, is God Himself. It says an angel of the Lord. In the Old Testament, that means Jehovah Himself. God came and He touched his life. And this is what He did. He gave him rest. Hello. He gave him bread. To do what? To strengthen the physical body. To help him to become once again strong. Because he had something else for him to do. So he gave him rest. He gave him food. And he gave him water. Elijah under the Jupiter tree having a pity party. You ever been there? You ever really felt sorry for yourself? Have you ever thought that nobody really cared what was going on with you and what was happening? Have you ever wandered off into the wilderness? Have you got out of church, got away from your Christian friends, and sit there and had a pity party? That's exactly where Elijah was. He was having that pity party. And my friends, listen to me. God did three simple things there. He gave him rest. He let him sleep. I don't know about you, but there have been times that I thought if I could just lay down, lay down for just a few minutes, I'd probably sleep for 4 days. And think how good that is. I mean, you lay down and you really, really, really sleep. And then when you wake up, you're what? You're refreshed. You feel good. You feel better. You look at that problem a little bit different. God didn't take him and put him in some institution. God didn't take him and put him in a major hotel. God didn't bring a steak, a meal before him. But what he did was he put some bread on the coals. He gave him a jar of water. And then he let him rest again. Boy, I tell you how simple God works in people's lives. We're always looking for the supernatural. We're always looking for the great thing to happen. And what God was simply doing was so simple, so practical, that it's hard for us many times to understand. And I want you to notice that all the provisions was made by God. Everything. God came and provided the rest, provided the water, provided the bread. But secondly, I want you to know in verse 11 that it was personal. God gave him a personal message. Elijah had been so discouraged. He was ready to quit. He was ready to give up. But now he's going to receive a message, a personal message from God. You know what? God probably had the right to go ahead and kill him. I know he did. So many times we've been effective for God. We've worked hard for the Lord. We've served him so many times in this passage of Scripture here. Elijah says, I have been so jealous for God. I have been so jealous for God. Indicating that he had been so committed and done so much for God time and time again. He kept saying that. But God sent him a personal message. And that personal message was one of love and one of mercy and Elijah's message and a message of instructions concerning his journey from that wilderness back to Mount Horeb, or the Mount of God. God wasn't going to leave him in the wilderness. God wasn't going to leave him under the Jupiter tree. And tonight in our lives, if we're discouraged, if we're ready to give up, if we're ready to quit, God don't want to leave you where you're at. God's got a personal message for you. Just as He had that practical way of restoring the life of Elijah, so does He have a personal message. And then tonight, in closing, I want us to see that He had a powerful message. Verses 11 and 12. As Elijah stood before God, facing his future, facing Elijah's future, God spoke a powerful message. He did it, and He didn't do it. They said there was a powerful wind that came, and it broke the rocks in two. And when Elijah was searching for that, he found out that God's message wasn't in that wind. It says that there was a great earthquake, but the voice of God was not in the earthquake. The Bible says that fire came down, and it was not the voice of God in the fire. But in that passage of Scripture, it does say that God spoke in a still, small voice. In verse 15, God spoke to Elijah, and then He says, "Go and return." He says, "Elijah, listen, I'm going to give you rest, I'm going to feed you, and I'm going to give you something to drink. And then I'm going to come and I'm going to give you a personal message. I'm going to instruct you." Read the rest of that chapter. He goes and he anoints kings. He goes and there he finds the prophet Elisha, and he passes the mantle to him. He has a future. He has service to do. And God spoke that to him in a personal way. And he did it in a still, small voice. You see, we're always looking for the big things. There was the rest. There was the bread. There was the water. God wants to restore you tonight. God wants to restore any Christian. He wants to help you get through anything and everything in your life. You're not by yourself, church. Tonight, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ and you love Him, you've got Him right beside you. All you've got to do is claim Him, believe in Him, and have faith in Him, and follow His will and His instructions. He instructed him to go. He put him back in service. He didn't kill him in the wilderness. You see, in our lives, we have wandered. We have our weaknesses. We have grown weary. But God has always had a way to restore us. How many times has He restored you? How many times has He brought you through situation after situation after situation? God knows how to do it. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight for Elijah. We thank You, Lord, for the example in these verses that helps us tonight to be able to understand that Elijah was just a man. Elijah ran from a wicked woman. If God could kill all of those prophets of Baal, if He could do everything He did at Mount Carmel, certainly He could have handled Jezebel. But Lord, Elijah turned and ran into the wilderness. Father, tonight so many of us are right on the edge of doing that. So many times in our lives we just get so fed up. We get so discouraged and we want to quit. We want to give up. And this church is no different than any other church, and in every single church there are people who are giving up. They used to be faithful in Sunday school. They used to be faithful in preaching Sunday morning and Sunday night. They used to be faithful here on Wednesday night. But somewhere along the way, they forgot about what all God's done for them. They forgot about the Calvary and the cross. They forgot about eternal life and the blood. They forgot about a lot of things in their life. And tonight, some way, somehow, I pray that you just remind us that you're always there, that you love us, and that you want to restore us, that you want to make us once again a person of service. Lord, I pray tonight that whatever these individuals here in this church is going through, if they are going through tough times, Lord, I pray that you'll strengthen them. You'll encourage them. You'll put your arm around them and love on them and let them know tonight how much you care. Bless them tonight as they go. Give them a good night's rest tonight. Help them to face tomorrow with energy and help them to serve you and be a witness. Forgive us for our sins tonight and cleanse our hearts. And we'll praise you and love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.